You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's the weekend. Time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend. A weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
The leaves are changing, so for this week's edition, we're going to turn our focus to autumn. The cover story is from Terry Barr, as she catches up with a writer who's really honed in on the beauty of autumn in Wisconsin. The words are so colorful, you can listen with your eyes closed. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will share the science behind autumn's color change. Scammers are using fall employment needs as a way to collect your personal information. And in just a minute, we'll tell you about the beauty of Green Bay's botanical gardens. Conrad Krieger gets us psyched up for a fall staple, football. Amanda Nimmer has an issue with pumpkin spice season. And in our truth booth, we'll meet David, who's proud of his efforts to quit smoking. Pete Schwabe has a classic cinema pick of the week, and Todd Michaels curates a weekend playlist for us. And later, enjoy music about the season and meet the artist behind the song Autumn Leaves. She's also written the official ballad for Wisconsin. Let's open up this issue by looking at a place that has year-round beauty in Green Bay, spring, summer, and fall. The Green Bay Botanical Garden is a blooming asset on the city's west side. It's more than just a pretty place to stroll. It's an educational, social, horticultural destination and an entertainment venue. Linda Guskey is the Director of Education and Guest Experience.
When I walk outside every day, there's something new blooming. And even if you don't like flowers, or if you're maybe they're you like them, but they're not as much your thing. We've got concerts.
Guskey says adding the amphitheater opened up the garden to a lot more activity.
Really a nice, great area where we can fit around 1,500 people or more, and the big stage. And so that has been really a game changer for us the last few years on being able to bring in these larger bands and bring more people in for music in the garden.
She recommends bringing a blanket or lawn chair to concerts. Concessions are also available. Other activities at the garden include yoga, plant workshops, nature walks, and more.
Education obviously is core to our mission at the garden. Recreation, just connecting people with plants in whatever way that we can meet them at. We offer things that you can sign up for in advance, cooking and horticulture, and a lot of wellness lately.
Guskey says the Green Bay Botanical Garden is not funded by the city of Green Bay, by Brown County, or by any governmental agency. It is community funded. Donations, memberships, and special events fund the employees and the upkeep of the gardens. Green Bay Botanical Garden opened in 1996 as the only botanical garden in Northeast Wisconsin.
When I got there and realized it was so much more than just pretty flowers, it's really amazing and really just such an escape for people, a respite for people.
Guskey said she started working with the Green Bay Botanical Garden because she loves environmental education and likes to connect with people and plants. It wasn't until she started with the community-funded nonprofit organization that she realized just how much activity it does host.
We really like to say that we are a place for all ages and all stages. So if you're celebrating a wedding, if you're celebrating a life, if you are celebrating graduation, we've had graduations out there, family events, we've had just mommy groups come on out and hang out for the day. So really, we feel like there's something for everybody.
After COVID, the Green Bay Botanical Garden saw a need to get kids and everybody back outside to connect with nature. So they created the new Bell's Children's Garden that opened last May. Guskey calls it 2.5 acres of a children's wonderland.
You can come and you can play in our splash pad. You can slide down the slide. You can crawl through the cave tunnel, all while also learning about what's in nature there and learning about native plants and where our water comes from.
In the past year, the school field trip program has exploded with more schools coming to the garden. Guskey says the Green Bay Botanical Garden also brings their education program into the schools if requested. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
From each other and give nothing at all.
This past week, it hasn't felt like it because it's been rather warm. But as the temperatures drop and fall comes in, our thoughts turn to one pastime that is quintessentially Wisconsin. It's football season. Conrad Krieger reports for New Wisco Weekend.
Fall is great in northeastern Wisconsin, not just because the leaves change or temperatures lower, but also it's time for football. Yes, we got the Packers in Wisconsin, which are great, but we get to see some of these great high school teams in northeastern Wisconsin who want to prove themselves. I talk with NBC 26 sports reporter John Miller about covering local high school sports and the Green Bay Packers.
Oh man, I love Green Bay because you get the Packers and then you get the high school sports when it's not Packers. So it's a lot of fun to not just get the monotony like a beat writer of covering the Packers every day, but then you get to see the great high school athletes we have in the Fox Valley. And I think, you know, I used to cover sports in Montana, and no offense to them, but there's some elite athletes out here, and it's really fun to cover.
Definitely.
Well, so we're getting out of summer, getting into fall, which is a very busy part of the year, right?
The fall is a very busy part of the year. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It never stops. Yeah. The Packers never stops. High school football never stops. Then you got, you know, football on Saturdays. You got college. You got all the different things. And then we also do a segment called Beyond the Score, which is looking at impacts in youth sports, such as money, injuries, good things. I just did one on sportsmanship. So we focus on that. So it's like you can't take a breath.
Yeah. So, in your opinion, what is the best fall sport?
It's got to be football. Yeah. I'm a football guy. Yeah. I love football. You know, winter is awesome, but football is king.
What can you tell us about this northeastern part of Wisconsin, like the football season ahead?
The high school football season, man, we have some good teams out here. I mean, Bayport, they're really good. Nina is somebody to watch out for. You know, they got Grant Dean. He's going to Wisconsin to play safety, but he plays running back and safety out here. He's a great player. There's Kimberly. Kimberly's no one. Like, they're every year you're like, they graduate a bunch of seniors and then they play a bunch of seniors. Like, oh, well, is Kimberly going to be good again? Absolutely. If you ever have to question if Kimberly's going to be good, that program is a machine. So yeah, high school football should be fun. It's gonna be fun to see who separates themselves.
Can you recommend a sport that anyone could do in the fall to stay active?
Work out. I mean, I don't know how much you powerlifting, weightlifting. I'm a big weightlifter. I don't could think of it as a sport, but people do think of it as a sport. I mean, you do compete in it. So yeah, weightlifting, that's my favorite thing. But yeah, I don't know if everyone can play football or what's going on there.
So what is your favorite fall like festivity?
Oh man, favorite fall festivity, it's got to be Thanksgiving, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because you got football all day and you get to hang out with your friends and family. Not since I've been in the business, you can't really do that on Thanksgiving if the Packers are playing, but that's got to be Thanksgiving. There's nothing better. Well, state football is pretty fun too, if you want to call that a festivity. My favorite memory has to be Packers Vikings home opener last year. I was in Minnesota. Then after the game, you know, just being a kid from Minnesota, I love growing up rooting for the Packers. So to go back to Minnesota and cover the Packers, doing reports from the sideline, going after the game, doing my report at midfield. I mean, that was surreal to know that I'd worked my way to do that.
That was NBC 26 sports reporter John Miller. With New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Listening to New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Things are changing. In fact, there's going to be a really big change tonight when you tuck yourselves in and go to sleep. Because today is the last day of summer, and starting tomorrow, it's officially autumn. And you know what that means, right? That means once you wake up, the leaves are going to start changing. The weather's gonna start cooling down. We can start pulling out our favorite hoodies. And yes, it's officially pumpkin spice season. And now is the time that you can finally be happy, be giddy, and celebrate pumpkin spice. Yes, now is the appropriate time. Not last week, not last month, now. And I don't want to hear people going, oh, come on, just let them have it. It makes them happy. No, I'm not going to let you have it. And here's why. Because if I have to let you have it, that means I have to let the Christmas people start celebrating at the end of June have it. And then you have to just keep allowing. At some point, you're going to find like Valentine's Day and Easter items stocked right next to the Christmas stuff in November. There has to be a time for it to stop, and the time is now. Now, please understand that I have nothing against pumpkin spice. I have nothing against planning ahead. I think most people should plan ahead. But I don't think you should force others to do it too. Be excited. Be geeked out. Start envisioning what your Halloween will look like. But don't demand that it be in the stores earlier than it should. Amazon exists for a reason. You can buy almost anything there at any time of the day. But some of us would like to enjoy this last gorgeous warm day of summer before we wake up tomorrow morning and suddenly it's now autumn. Seasons are going to be changing. Just let us have this. We live in Wisconsin, guys. We get about what? There's 12 months in a year, and about 8 of them are usually winter / mud season. Let us have this. Autumn is fast and autumn is fleeting. And I understand you want to cherish it for as long as humanely possible. But please, please, just let some of us enjoy the beauty that is the season we are currently in. And then let us go ahead and hype up with you. And we can talk about going to the Little Farmer, Waldvogel Farms, getting some apple cider, gorgeous caramels, and of course, our pumpkin spice on. Ghost stories, haunted houses, everything that is the embodiment of autumn. We will be there. We will be with you. But in the morning, from New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
When we come back, the science of changing colors. Also still ahead, our cover story. It's a beautiful ode to autumn and the changing of the seasons. You don't want to miss it. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Can never last. Wake me up when September ends.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, Brittany Merlot will give us the science behind the gorgeous fall colors we experience in New Wisco, and our truth booth explores the reasons one man quit smoking. First, let's get Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
For this week's classic flick, we follow a bounty hunter and a mob accountant across the country. 1988's Midnight Run pairs two generational actors in Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin. Jack Walsh, De Niro, agrees to find mob accountant embezzler Jonathan Mardukas, or The Duke, played by Grodin. It's supposed to be an easy job, also known as a midnight run, from New York to L.A., but The Duke, while not a dangerous criminal, is witty and annoying and has no intention of going to prison. He constantly tries to escape to protect himself from mob boss Jimmy Serrano, played by Dennis Farina. After being asked to leave a flight before taking off, then hopping a train as the FBI closes in, Walsh and The Duke find themselves on a bus with nothing but time.
Why aren't you popping with Chicago Police Department?
That's something that really doesn't concern you.
Did she hurt you, Janet?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What are you sorry about?
I'm sorry you're hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I'm not hurt.
You just said you were hurt.
I didn't say I was hurt. You said I was hurt.
I asked you if you were hurt, and you said, yeah, I'm hurt.
That's because you made me say. You started to put words in my mouth.
Jack, you're a grown man. You have control over your own words.
You're damn right I do. So here come two words for you. Shut up.
Shortly after that scene, we find out De Niro's character would not take payoffs, but his wife left him for a fellow cop who does. Out of money and options, Walsh and the Duke have no choice but to stop in Chicago and ask for the help of his ex-wife. During the contentious conversation, Walsh sees his 12-year-old daughter for the first time in years, a poignant scene perfectly placed amid the comedic banter and chase scenes. The goals for the two characters are simple. The Duke just wants to disappear with his wife in his own form of witness protection. De Niro just wants out of the miserable business of bounty hunting and to open a coffee shop with the money he'll make from embattled bail bondsman Eddie Moscone, who, to get Walsh to take the gig, offers him $100 large. I love talking like a movie character. The film, written by George Gallo and beautifully paced by director Martin Brest, knows when to be funny, intense, and heartfelt at all the right times. Watching De Niro and Grodin over the course of 2 hours is a thing of beauty as they get on each other's nerves but grow to respect each other. Midnight Run is an easy watch. It's like the midnight run of watching movies. And it's your classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see you dance again. Because I'm still in love with you, on this harvest moon.
Every year, leaf seekers drive from near and far to get lost in our forest and filled with the vibrant colors of autumn. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot breaks down those changes occurring in the leaves.
When it comes to fall foliage, there are three big factors influencing autumn leaf color: leaf pigment, length of night, and the weather. The timing of color changes is mainly controlled by the calendar, as nights become longer and days grow shorter. This triggers the biochemical process within the leaf to begin to paint the landscape with nature's autumn palette. But for this to happen, we need pigments. We've got carotenoids, which produce yellow, orange, and brown colors, just like in corn and carrots. There's also anthocyanins, which gives cranberries and blueberries their color. It's also a watery liquid inside the leaf cells. Then there's chlorophyll, giving the leaves their green color and necessary for photosynthesis, which is a chemical reaction to sunlight that the plants use to make sugars for food. Both chlorophyll and carotenoids are located in the leaves throughout the growing season. The anthocyanins are produced in the autumn in response to bright light and excess plant sugars. Because as the nights get cooler, chlorophyll production slows down and eventually stops. All chlorophyll is destroyed, leaving just the carotenoids and anthocyanins, unmasked to show their colors. Oaks typically turn red or brown, hickories golden bronze, aspen and poplar turn bright yellow, red maples go scarlet, and sugar maples an orangey red. Meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the Great Lakes Weather Service says every species of tree changes at different times too.
For example, if you have a lot of red maples and aspen, they tend to turn early in the season. Meanwhile, oak trees tend to turn the latest. So if you have a lot of oak trees, your color is displaced probably until later October.
And when it comes to how brilliant and bright the colors are, temperature and moisture come into play. Many warm, sunny days alongside cool, crisp, but not freezing nights bring the most vibrant fall foliage. Because during these days, lots of sugars are produced in the leaf, but the cool nights and the gradual closing of veins prevent these sugars from moving out. These conditions spur the brilliant anthocyanin pigments, which tint reds, purples, and crimson. Because carotenoids are always present in the leaves, the yellow and gold colors remain fairly consistent from year to year.
Color tends to start about a week or two later if you're along the shores of the Great Lakes, other large bodies of water like Lake Winnebago, or even along some big river valleys. That's because that water is warmer than the cool nighttime air in the fall. The water keeps the air temperatures warmer at night, and therefore the chemical changes in the leaves a little bit slower to happen, but rest assured eventually they'll change over as well, so no problems there.
And the amount of moisture in the soil also affects autumn colors. Like the weather, soil moisture varies greatly from year to year, leaving the countless combinations of these two highly variable factors assuring that no two autumns can be exactly alike.
I'm not expecting this weekend's rain to affect the fall colors too much across Wisconsin. Generally, the fall color display is more controlled by how much moisture we've had throughout the growing season and what type of temperatures we've had and that sort of thing. And if we had a healthy growing season, generally good fall colors can be expected. Now, if the rain would get rather heavy this weekend coupled with high winds, then we might see at least a few leaves knocked off prematurely, but hopefully it won't be too bad at this point.
All in all, a warm, wet spring, favorable summer weather, and warm sunny fall days with cool nights should produce the most brilliant autumn colors, which is exactly what we've had this year, so get those cameras ready. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Whenever any of our team from New Wisco Weekend is out and about in New Wisco, we like to let people tell us their story, their stories, their passions, why they do the things they do, and why they live where they live. We call it our truth booth. Today we talk with David, who's very proud of his efforts to quit smoking.
Which I'm through with smoking, period, because I can't smoke. I have COPD. I have bronchitis, and I was born with asthma. So, and I went to the doctor up here, just like my doctor in Milwaukee, said that I couldn't smoke no more. But I still thought that I could smoke. And I got here, and then this, my claws were so bad I couldn't breathe. So they had to rush me to the emergency. And this doctor told me, please don't put another cigarette in your mouth. He said, you can't put no smoke in your lungs whatsoever. And I know that right now today. That's why I gave everything away. Cigarette lighter, my cigarette, my cigars. So I was through smoking. And it's for a better life for me. I'll be 67 this year. So it's time to let go, because I've been through the ropes. I've been through everything. It's enough for me. So I want to enjoy the rest of my life clean.
September morn. Do you remember how we danced that night away?
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story. Terry Barr talks with an author who captures the beauty of autumn in words. We'll be back right after the news. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host.
The falling leaves drift by the window.
In just a moment, we'll look at how scammers are using employment offers to collect your personal information. But now it's time for our cover story. The beauty of autumn can be breathtaking, making it difficult to describe. Lucky for us, Terry Barr found one man who puts his feelings into words. So sit back and enjoy the way Chris Hardy writes about Wisconsin at this time of year. Here's Terry, who says you can even close your eyes for this one.
I would like to welcome to the show Chris Hardy. Chris is an author who has this incredible gift and ability to be able to hone in on the beauty of Wisconsin. And Chris, may I say, especially, you have found the beauty of autumn in Wisconsin.
Well, it's interesting that you use the term autumn, Terry, because there's a special feeling about autumn in Wisconsin and the beauty, the just outstanding feel of the change of seasons.
What do you think it really is about autumn? In your writing, I want to mention Ode to Autumn. You do talk about an abandoned barn in Wisconsin, but then you mention the hillside around it. What grabbed your attention about this particular scene?
So this was a scene that was part of my daily commute at the time. And so I'd look at that barn every so often. There's also an abandoned house on that property as well. And so it always kind of intrigued me because I thought, well, I wonder who lived there. What was their story? And the barn was in pretty good shape, still painted red. And so, you know, it was kind of your stereotypical Wisconsin barn. But it was just that afternoon, and the light was just right that day. And I saw that barn in the midst of that hillside, that kaleidoscope of colors that said, wait a minute, you need to stop and you need to take a picture of this. I didn't have any intent in writing a column at that time. It was just something like, wow, this is sometimes you have to stop and you need to just take a few minutes to take a picture. And so it's one of the instances where that picture actually inspired my writing, because I asked myself, well, why did you stop and take that photo? And how can you then describe to the readers and tell the story as to why I did it?
Would you mind reading just a little bit from your Ode to Autumn so our listeners can have the wonderful treat of enjoying it?
I would be happy to. I stopped the other day on a country road for a moment or two, a brief respite towards the end of another busy day. I drive by my point of rest every day. It's a barn no longer in use next to an abandoned farmhouse. The barn's not that old. The rounded roof appears to be in good shape, and it still has its faded red paint. Next to it is a small silo. There are many of these scenes dotting the countryside. Buildings on smaller family farms no longer needed, where the economics of farming has ended their usefulness. They stand, silent and empty, eventually succumbing to the forces of nature. But on this late afternoon, I was beckoned to stop. The hillside behind the barn was a canvas of reds, orange, yellow, brown, and green, illuminated by the sun and framed by a bright blue sky. The setting sun was already casting a shadow on the floor of the valley, and in a few minutes, the scene would be lost. I pulled off the road to capture this moment of pure autumn in Wisconsin.
Your words paint such an incredible photo in one's mind. Thank you so much. Talking right now with author, Wisconsin writer, Chris Hardy. Chris, I have to mention, you are also the CEO of Seven Rivers Alliance. So I am going to assume this means nature and Wisconsin, again, go hand in hand as something you really care about.
So the Seven Rivers Alliance is one of nine regional economic development organizations in Wisconsin. And part of economic development is placemaking, and it's also promoting the reasons why people would want to live and work here. And it's important that we do that workforce attraction, because bringing workers here is a key part of building our economy.
You have a new story that you have just written, The Seasons of Life. Whew, this one, again, is tied to the way, you know, the change of the season affects us and you. So can you tell us more about what persuaded you to put pen to paper again?
Yeah. So for me, fall is always a very reflective time. You know, all of us go through changes. And in the past 4.5 years, my father has passed away, and he lived on the family farm for 50 some years, and my mother had to move out of her house a couple years ago because she was getting up there in age. I still live on the farm, but it's not the farm that I remember growing up. It was a moment where, in the busyness of life, I was just sitting on the back stoop with a cup of coffee in my hand and got to thinking about what it is that makes me reflective about autumn and the changes in our lives.
May I be so bold as to ask you if you would read a little bit of this one for us?
I would be happy to do that. I sat on the back stoop on the cusp of autumn, coffee in hand, and bade goodbye to summer. Seems like I hardly knew you, I said. Summer sighed, reluctant to move on. But despite her grip, the first frost will come to our valley, and the growing season will come to an end. Signs of the seasonal change have shown up in the past few weeks. The barn swallows that nest in the old dairy barn have flown south. The hummingbirds are passing through, stopping to fuel up before continuing their southern journey. The apple harvest has been abundant. We've picked many for eating and for freezing. The deer make their nightly visits to feast on the fallen ones. Time, relentless and without mercy, marches on. The change of the season marks the cadence. The summer solstice, where daylight rules, slowly gives way to the autumnal equinox. This was the summer that I was going to enjoy sitting outside on the porch more often. This was the summer I was going to sit around more nighttime campfires. This was the summer that the good intention list trails off and disappears like the spring lilacs. Too busy, but deeds left undone. Too tired, but regrets remembered. I allowed myself a brief melancholic wallow to tune in my emotions. Then autumn whispered, "I am here." She was there across the creek in the green canopy of leaves. Splotches of red and yellow dotted the verdant canvas. She was there in the apple trees. She was there in the morning sun. The change in seasons is a reminder that I'm growing older. We're growing older. I recently visited my mother, who is 86 and is in an assisted living facility. She's in good health, but struggles with her memory. When I walked into her room, she greeted me and asked how the farm was doing. "I've been thinking," she said. "I have to decide if I'm going to stay here or go back home. Where is our home? Is it our current address? Or is it a place in our memory and in our hearts that we remember as home? Or is home something that we create with our loved ones, both now and before?" "Farm is fine, Mom," I replied, "although it isn't the same and never will be. And your home belongs to someone else now." But in her mind, home and the farm some days means Dad is still alive. They're still milking cows, she's feeding calves, and they're spending time on the back porch overlooking the creek and hills. In a few weeks, those hills will be ablaze with color. I'll be scraping frost off the windshield and searching for my jacket. But life brings unexpected surprises. I was trimming grass when I noticed a few dandelion weeds in full bloom. In the waning days of summer, a plant that is profuse in the spring decided to challenge the seasonal norms. The seasons and rhythms of life march on. It's up to us to find the beauty.
That is just beautiful.
Thank you.
Again, I've been talking with Chris Hardy. Chris is writing about Wisconsin and autumn and thankfully so many other things. Chris, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome, Terry. It's been a pleasure.
Terry says Chris is currently working on a book about another thing he loves to write about, the old barns and farms across Wisconsin.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Now that the school year's underway, there are many college students and even some parents searching for a good paying job that works well with their schedule. Those seeking employment should be cautious of jobs offered through a particular app. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
This is about fake job scammers using WhatsApp to entice people. And it's about those students who might be looking for that fall employment now that they're back in school. So something with less hours, and parents who have kids going back to school or maybe looking for some more flexibility while their young ones are in school. And so they could be enticed by work that pays well and requires minimal time commitment. And online jobs sound like they fit the bill, but unfortunately, many of these offers are sent by scammers hoping to just steal your private information, and there's no job on the other end.
Reinen says certain jobs offered through texts and apps like WhatsApp can be very enticing, with the purpose to lure in a job seeker to steal personal information.
What this looks like is, imagine getting a text message with a job offer that pays hundreds of dollars a day for doing remote work. There are red flags. The company hiring is a mystery. The message only specifies an age requirement for the job. And most suspicious of all is they ask you to text them your social security number. And if you send your personal information to a stranger, you're likely just putting yourself at risk for identity theft. And again, most of these scams that we've seen coming through are happening through WhatsApp. And so we want people to just be really cautious, because I know we've talked about different job scams over the years.
Sometimes job scammers will hold fake online interviews to get that personal information.
They try and make everything look legitimate by going to that whole phase of getting you into maybe a Google room to hold that interview. And they may claim some technology problems during the interview as to why you can't see them or different connections, but they're going to want you to, quote, fill out their applications where you're going to hand over that personal information.
If you see a tempting job offer on an app or through a text, Michelle Reinen recommends what to do to avoid being scammed.
Just a reminder that while these things can seem very tempting and often come through different apps or unexpected texts, don't click on links or respond to unexpected texts. Do your research to validate that the company is legitimate and that the job available is legitimate before you fill out any applications. And then go so far as to block unwanted text messages on your smartphone. You can go into your settings and do that call blocking app so you don't get those unwanted texts and phone calls.
Remember, if you suspect a scam or have been scammed, you can contact the DATCP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov or go to their website, datcp.wi.gov. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
The summer sun is fading as the year grows old, and darker days are drawing near. The winter winds will be much colder now you're not here. I watch the birds fly south across the autumn sky, and one by one they disappear. I wish that I was flying with them. Now you're not here.
Coming up, New Wisco lead correspondent Terry Barr has music to transport you to autumn in Wisconsin. This is New Wisco Weekend from Civic Media, WGBW, and WISS. This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. Sometimes music can take you to another place. Harp player Sherry Sarazen sings about the seasons in Wisconsin, and she'll transport you right to her favorite through the song Autumn Leaves. The stories behind her songs are as colorful as fall in the state. Here's Terry Barr.
Listening to a piece of the song called Autumn Leaves. Now, the musician behind it is Sherry Sarazen. What can you tell us about this gorgeous song, Autumn Leaves?
I have loved that song for so long, and I love it so much that I wish I could sing it all year. Autumn's the time, and I like to think of it as hauntingly beautiful. I recorded it for my my latest album, which is Butterfly Wings, and the concept of the album is to follow a butterfly through its life cycles, along with comparing that with humans through the seasons of time. And of course, Autumn Leaves had to make the cut.
So do you feel as if much of your music does sort of focus then on the changing seasons with a little bit of Wisconsin thrown in there?
Well, specifically on that album, Butterfly Wings, it does hit all of the four seasons with different songs for each season. And then I have a little interlude between the seasons. And a lot of the music that I perform and create is themes with the months of the year, especially programs that I put together for the senior facilities that I play at.
I have to ask you, you know, playing harp, I think that's what drew me to the Autumn Leaves song, because the two, you and the harp, go so perfectly with autumn. Do you feel that?
Absolutely. And you know what? My birthday's in October. So I am very connected, I think, to autumn. And it's just so beautiful. I know that Wisconsin is beautiful in every season, but autumn has to be the best. And I do really, really like summertime, and it makes me a little sad when it goes away. But then there's autumn.
What would you say inspires you about autumn? What does anything stick out?
Well, I think it's the colored leaves. They're just so beautiful. And the trees. So, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin. So, you know, you kind of take for granted all the beauty unless you move away. Now, I'm not going to give this other state too much of a hard time, but I lived in Nebraska for a while. They don't have much for trees. Ooh. And so I really missed our beautiful trees. My grandmother was just a lover of nature, and I spent a lot of time with her, and she was the one that opened the door of music up for me. And we would go outside on the farm and walk through the woods. She knew all the trees. She knew how to identify the leaves. So, you know, I think that it's been with me for a long time.
I am talking with Wisconsin-based musician Sherry Sarazin. Sherry, let's share your website, Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Sarazin, Sarazin.com. We are going to end with what I want to say is another beautiful song. It's also the official state ballad. Yeah. And you have won a Wisconsin Area Music Industry Award. It's called "Oh, Wisconsin, Land of My Dreams." It's so great. Tell me about it, Sherry.
The award. Yeah, this award I got just this year, Whammy. And it was for Unique Song of the Year. And this goes back to my grandmother. She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin. And in 93, my mother gave me my grandmother's journal. And in the journal were all these songs and lyrics and poems. She thought I might, you know, find something of use. And here I went all the way through the journal, and there was this on the back cover, this poem about Wisconsin. And I read it and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the one. I went to the piano and it wasn't, I don't know, I don't think it was an hour. And I had the music matched up to the beautiful words that she had wrote. So I was encouraged to see if I could do something about getting it to be the official state ballad. I found out it had to go through legislation and become a law. So it took a while. It, you know, government's not real fast sometimes, but what an experience. And we involved a bunch of school kids. We got to sing at the Capitol and perform and at the mansion. And then 2001, it became official and it is now our state ballad. And it's always a labor of love, because it's something I can honor my grandmother with. And she's looking down from heaven right now, and I think she's pretty pleased.
Here is "Oh, Wisconsin, Land of My Dreams." Thank you, Sherry, so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of beauty, with your hillsides and your plains, with your jack pine and your birch tree, and your old land of rivers, lakes, and valleys, land of warmth and winter snow.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our technical producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. The lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, and Pete Schwaba, plus commentary from Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story that you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email us anytime. My email address is lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for New Wisco Weekend, WISS, and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.